Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. I don't see Ark Jose here, so I can go longer than Pastor Eric's 8.5-minute sermon last week. So bear down. Now today, of course, as you've heard already many times, today is Rally Day. And for some of you, that term might mean something as we've been, you know, hearing it throughout our whole lives if you've grown up in a church or spent time in a church. But others might wonder, you know, what does that even mean? What does it mean, Rally Day? And rally, of course, that word can be used in some different ways, either as a noun or a verb, right? So, you know, a rally is a mustering of or gathering of common forces to renew an effort. So like a pep rally before a game or a rally for a candidate for political office or a rally for some kind of cause. And so that's a rally. To rally as a verb has to do with the actual process of renewing that effort together, to join together in that common cause. So you might rally to go to that political rally. So you might rally people to go. You might rally the troops as they prepare for battle, for combat. You hope your team, you know, rallies together, gets a nice rally going and makes a comeback victory. And as fans, sometimes we do what? We put on our rally caps, right? I thought I actually brought a hat with me, but forgot it in my office. But you put on your rally caps, you know, you turn it inside out or whatever and put it on. We won't get into the superstition of all of that right now. It's for another time. So Rally Day, of course, has to do with all of that. This service, if you will, is a rally called and gathered by God in this place to hear his word and corporately sing praises to his name. I guess you could really say that every Sunday is a rallying of the troops, that is the church militant, as we are gathered to be strengthened, renewed, equipped for service. And today is a rallying of all those people who were out camping, fishing, cruising, touring Europe, and all of those other things that you guys were doing this summer. It's a rally to rally those people back to church for the fall programs. It's a back to church Sunday, if you will. In fact, that's how Rally Day came to be. It's not exactly a liturgical holiday on our calendars, but rather something that's become fairly prevalent over the last 100 or so years in Christianity. It's welcome back to church Sunday after Sunday school has been off for the summer in many places, and an effort, a rallying of the efforts for Sunday school and education and all the efforts that the church might be emphasizing, like Pastor Eric was talking about earlier. So stick around. Check out our ministry fair in the fellowship hall after the service, along with all the fun stuff, too. Now, Jesus had this great ability to rally the people, to bring them all together to hear his message. No one could, you know, bring a crowd together quite like Jesus. They would gather from all over the regions and the places to come and to listen to him. And as a preacher, you think, you know, now that all these people have gathered together, I should say something positive, you know, not something that's going to turn them off. You know, I got them here. I don't want to lose them. That's how we tend to think. But Jesus tends to use these rallies of people a little different than that. And some of what he begins to teach them and tell them actually ends up turning them away rather than keeping them. And this morning's gospel is one example of that. We're told that great crowds accompanied him. They're following him. They're hanging on every word that he says. And Jesus begins his Rally Day sermon that day by saying, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." What a mood killer, right? I mean, especially on this, you know, welcome back to church Sunday for all of your families. You know, and he goes on and he says, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You see, Jesus didn't desire simply to attract a large crowd. He didn't want to simply tickle their ears so that they would keep following him. No, he was interested in disciples. That is, those who truly follow him, learn from him, and trust in him with their heart, with their soul, with all that is in them. The sermon title today is Rally Day is about discipleship. The purpose of today is really to launch the fall season in order to strengthen us in our faith as disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not simply to have fun. I hope it's a fun day. I think it's going to be a great day. But it's not simply to have fun, but to rally us together to strengthen us in our faith as disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a cost to discipleship. By that I mean that following Jesus will not always be easy. Sacrifices are involved, and this relationship with Jesus as disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, this relationship with Jesus can impact all of our other relationships. It will impact our priorities in life. You know, we often want Christianity, a Christianity that's, you know, nice and easy, that just makes us happy and requires nothing of us, and we can just sit back with little to no change to our lives, whether we're Christian or not. Or maybe we'll take that happy stuff, but all the hard stuff, let's just stay away from all of that. This is why so often, you know, churches stop preaching about sin. They stop preaching about that hard stuff. Who wants to hear that? Who wants to hear that we are sinful and unclean and in need of rebirth? Who wants to hear that we have not loved God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we've not loved our neighbors as ourselves, and we have need to fall on our knees and repent? Who wants to hear that we're doing something wrong? You know, I recall a radio program I've listened to for about 20 years now called The White Horse Inn, and I highly recommend it if you can pull it up on podcast. But over 20 years ago, they did an episode with Robert Shuler. You're familiar with Robert Shuler, and maybe some of you have listened to him, and I'm not trying to pick on Robert Shuler here, but in this episode with Robert Shuler, they're talking about, the Paul's letter to the Romans, and sin, and the need for repentance, and Robert Shuler says, oh, I sure hope you don't preach that. And they said, well, why not? And he goes, oh, you could turn a lot of people away telling them that they're sinners and they need to repent. And they said, well, Jesus did that. And Robert Shuler's response was, well, I preached to a much bigger audience than Jesus ever did. The interview didn't go very long, unfortunately. God willing, he repented of that statement and lived a life faithfully as a disciple of Christ. But the message of Jesus is not an easy message that says, do what you want to do and follow me whenever it's convenient for you. No, the message of Jesus is that we're sinners who are in need of repenting of our sins. And even more so, the message of Jesus is a message of grace and forgiveness through his death on the cross. You can't have a message of grace and forgiveness, this message of hope and peace, if there's not a message of law, of sin, and a need for a Savior. So we're sinners in need of a Savior. And the best news of all is that our Savior has come. He has redeemed us, lost and condemned people, purchased and won us at great cost, not with silver or gold, but with his holy and precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. He has borne his cross for our sake. And all this so that we might be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. And when our lives are rescued from sin and death in Christ, our lives are now lived in him. lived as those who belong to him, whose identities are found in him, and those who have all of our hope and faith in him and in him alone. Following Jesus is not always easy. It may, as we heard in our text, in other parts of the Gospels as well, as Jesus preaches, it may even divide families. Those who don't believe might be very offended by your faith. Of course, we're called to treat those people with love and respect, praying for them always and ready to speak the truth to them that they might believe. But we aren't to sacrifice following Jesus in order to please them. God, of course, wants your family to be saved. He doesn't want you to discard them. He wants them to be saved. He wants them to be counted amongst his disciples. And God wants us to love and to honor our family. It's part of the commandments that he gives to us. But if our loyalty is to our family over and above Christ, our priorities are mixed up. Now, God has called you to be a faithful husband or wife, or a faithful father or mother, or a faithful brother or sister, and so on. And these are amazing blessings instituted and given to us by God, where we can share our love and our grace. But our calling first is to follow him. That doesn't mean abandoning your family, but it does mean not changing your faith and what you believe in Christ Jesus because of your family. And it's a reminder also that we have a new family. All those who belong to Christ our Lord, and God willing, our biological family is part of that. So that even when, but we have a new family now, and so even when our blood family abandons us because of our faith, and that's maybe an important point I want to make, we're not called to abandon them, but they might turn their back on us because of what we believe. Even when we might be abandoned by our blood family, we have a family united by the blood of Jesus. Jesus, when the people come and they say that your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside looking for you, Jesus says, "Who are my mother and my brothers and my sisters?" And he tells us, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." So we have a family in Christ. Following Jesus is not always easy. His burden is light, and he doesn't pile on more laws that we cannot keep and tell us that our salvation is dependent on it, but rather he takes our burdens and carries them himself all the way to the cross, where he does what is necessary, all that is necessary for our salvation. And we're saved, of course, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ Jesus alone. But following Jesus might also bring persecution, tough decisions, and other things that, well, that might have been easier if you could just live your life your way all the time, or at least they would seem easier. It's not always easy. So part of being a disciple, we're told in our gospel today, is to count the cost. To count the cost. And he tells two very short parables there in Luke 14. One of building a tower and counting the cost, whether we have enough to complete it. And the other about a king who's going to war, counting the cost before rushing into battle. When we build our lives, we build on a sure foundation. And that foundation is Christ Jesus, our Lord. You have entered the body of Christ through faith in Christ, brought to new life by water and the word. And the call to discipleship is a lifelong calling of learning and growing in faith. Right? So we're to build, continue to build on that foundation, being strengthened on that sure foundation. Most of you might recall this verse that we call the Great Commission, Matthew 28, right? Where we hear that we're to go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. So our Lord calls us to make disciples, but it tells us how to make disciples, doesn't it? And it says, by baptizing and teaching. By baptizing and teaching. And so as we're built, we have this foundation that's been laid through holy baptism as we're claimed as God's chosen people called to be his own, but also this call to continue to grow and learn and be strengthened in the faith, to continue to build upon that foundation, which is why we teach and learn, why we sign up for Sunday school classes and Bible studies and all of those kinds of things, why we pass out Bibles to third graders. They might be taught what it means to be a child of God and continue to grow and build upon that foundation all through their life. So our ministry fair today is just about that. Lifelong discipleship, growing in faith and knowledge, being equipped to live out our lives in good times and in bad as followers who put their trust in Christ. And we don't think that we can do this on our own. We don't think we can be these great disciples without help. In fact, we can't be disciples of all on our own, at all on our own. We must rely solely, 100%, on Christ Jesus, our Lord. We don't rush into this battle called the Christian life as we rush into a war thinking we can do it on our own, thinking we can win it on our own. There's only one way to win this war, and that is through the cross of Jesus Christ. He is the only one who brings peace in the midst of turmoil and conflict. You can't do this on your own, and frankly, that's why we have Rally Day. Let's do it together. But even more so, you can't do it on your own. The only victory is found in clinging to the cross of Christ, who has endured all for you and carries you with him through the perils of this life, the temptations, the sin, the mocking, the suffering, the grieving, and he brings us victoriously through that into life eternal. Jesus counted the cost, and he chose to give his life for yours. This is what we follow. This is who we follow. The one who counted the cost and did all for you. The Christian life is a life of repentance and faith. Kneeling daily at the foot of the cross with our eyes fixed on him and the eternal life that is found in him. Jesus has carried the cross and we cling to him and to him alone. The rallying of disciples today is a rallying of people to cling to Jesus. That we would grow in faith, grow in knowledge and love of God and his word, being equipped for this journey that we are on and living lives of discipleship. As I preached earlier this summer for those who were here and not out camping or touring Europe or whatever it might be, it's dangerous to go alone. We go equipped with God's word, together as brothers and sisters of Christ, in Christ. And with the cross before us, the cross behind us, above us, below us, and to our side. For Christ never leaves us nor forsakes us, but as he says in that great commission, he is with you always, even to the end of the age. And we have a message to bring to this world. It's a message of discipleship. Sometimes it sounds scary, but it's the greatest message of all. For it is the only message that brings life, forgiveness, and salvation, hope in this dying world. It preaches grace on top of grace and rest in Christ in the midst of difficult times. It doesn't preach prosperity, at least not the way the world might think. It doesn't preach health and wealth and feel good. It preaches difficult times, but the only way to find hope and peace in those difficult times, Jesus and Jesus alone. So that is what we are rallying for today. And I encourage you to rally others with you so that they too might know what it means to have life and hope as disciples walking, following Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.